Hi, this is Camden Toy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, and you're listening to the 8-Bit Geek. Don't go away.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another week of 8-Bit Horror Fest. This week, we are diving into... Okay, this is what's interesting. So a lot of the movies we're doing, you know, we're doing like H.P. Lovecraft, Lovecraftian, like, you know, cosmic horror stuff. This one is both the most, like, it's based on a Lovecraft story, but is also, like, so far removed from the Lovecraft story, it's not even a Lovecraft story. Like, they used the name and characters, and that's about, and the general idea.
And the location.
Yeah, and the location, but that's like it. Like, this is so far removed from what Lovecraft did 100 years ago. Herbert West Reanimator was published in July of 1922.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Yeah.
Jeez.
100 years to the day.
Well, not to the day. Well, I mean, not the day. It came out.
Almost. Oh, well, not.
Between February and July of 1922.
Yeah, it's right on the day.
Right on the day. But the Link pointed out, sorry, we were joined this week by Daniel and, or sorry, Caleb and Link.
Hello.
What's up?
Daniel, that's Caleb.
Totally Caleb.
Yeah. I believe it was Link was one who noticed that while we were watching it this evening that this story takes place like to the week of us right now. Like, I guess it takes place during... now, in 1985, when the movie was made, not necessarily, you know, 2022, but it is during this week in October that the story takes place. So almost
37 years.
Yeah. And the release date is for this movie was October 18th, actually. So 2 days from this recording. They just really nailing the October vibes here.
So the premise of this movie is after an odd new medical student arrives on campus, a dedicated local, that's a bad descriptor, a dedicated local and his girlfriend become involved in bizarre experiments centering around the reanimation of dead tissue. Dedicated local to me sounds weird because it's like another doctor at this or like med student at this like university teaching hospital. Mm-hmm. Like, right. I guess it could be local, but. I don't know if they ever specified that.
Yeah, they just kind of made him. Like, they start the movie with him, like, basically trying to resuscitate someone. And it's like, okay, they're letting a student try to save someone's life? Cool. Have fun with that.
It was his old mentor / teacher in Switzerland. That was...
Yeah. No.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the medical student. Not Herbert West. Sorry. Dan Kane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess he's maybe in his residency. That's what I took that to mean.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be like a teaching hospital, kind
of
like...
It's like the worst episode of Scrubs ever.
Scrubs, yeah. I was going to say, like, Sacred Heart and Scrubs. Or it's a teaching hospital. This movie, surprisingly, I'm just going to go over some of the ratings and stuff on it, right? So it has a 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb. Wow. Which...
No.
Right. On its own, right? Like, if I guess, man, if you're not into like schlocky, campy, fucking 80s horror films, like, you'd watch this and go, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, easily.
And even if you are fans of those things, like, you're still thinking that. But there is something, like, we've talked about, like, we've watched this recently. Our group watched it about 2 months ago. And then I watched it again at some point over the summer at work.
Man, it was on
Chiller TV. Like, this is a movie I've seen numerous times. And it has a 73 on Metacritic.
Again, I say how,
right? And I think, yeah, I think there's something about like Herbert West. What's his name? Jeffrey Combs. Yeah, portrayal as Herbert West. That is just it's like he's like iconic.
He's got the mad science.
It's a whole franchise.
Yeah,
it is a franchise. Yeah, there's what, three of them.
Yes, Bride of, and the third one, I just, it was like animator reanimated or something.
Yeah, like the Return animation of or some shit.
Yeah. So the original stories written by Lovecraft, again, between February and July of 1922, apparently, like, he hated them. Lovecraft did not, he thought it was his worst work. Most people agree. And apparently the only reason he did it is because at the time he was being paid $5 a chapter, essentially. Because it was serialized, right? In like a magazine, essentially. And so every month there'd be a new chapter.
No way.
Yeah, and so he only did it for the $5 paycheck.
I mean, that'll get you a decent way if you're a starving artist in the 20s.
Right, that'll get you a lot of jazz cigarettes.
Yeah, and ramen.
Dance club and see a lot of ankle.
Oh, shit.
Here we go. Yeah,
think of all the people you're going to take out and do the Charleston with. Whew. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He wrote it to be a parody of Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I see that.
Which is just silly. I don't know. Like, so
that makes me wonder, like, if I have never read it. Now I'm kind of curious too, because I wonder if, like, his tone was super tongue-in-cheek and it was intended to be as goofy as it was.
Not really. I read it about 6 months ago. I was listening to an audiobook of fuck ton of Lovecraft, and I listened to it. It was really interesting because, like, it took me a while. I guess I missed them say the title. And it was at one point when I heard because the narrator in it is Dr. Kane or whatever. It's the friend.
Mm-hmm.
I believe is the one who's telling the story about the time that he met Herbert West. And it took me a while before I realized, like, oh shit, I'm listening to Reanimator. Like, I totally missed, like, that's what we're talking about. It's, it's not good. And also, it is pretty racist.
I mean, I'm kind of glad you brought that up.
Because Lovecraft is, people. Yeah.
He did not like colored individuals and would often talk about how, like, dumb they are.
It's been fun being a part of this. I'm out of here.
Yeah. So they that's how he viewed. I mean,
I've heard.
And
small-minded views.
Link, you and I have talked about this before, in a stream a while back, where I was playing like Red Dead or something, and we were talking about the author of The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh,
and because that author was super fucking racist. Super racist. In fact, he was so racist that he didn't even release that book under his actual name because he was worried that people wouldn't buy it because he was so fucking racist. He wrote that really famous pro-segregation speech that's like segregation now, segregation tomorrow, or whatever, segregation forever, or whatever it is. Yeah. And you and I talked about, like, it's hard sometimes to separate the artist from the art.
Exactly.
And we talked about Lovecraft because I was like, there's a part of me that, like, is, I can't do anything or feel like I should buy anything like from J.K. Rowling right now because she's alive and I don't want her getting my fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
But Lovecraft's dead. I don't. Right. And like his estate's like, yeah, this fucker was racist as shit, y'all. This is not cool.
And there's also an argument to be had for how formative H.P. Lovecraft was to the genre horror in and of itself.
Yeah.
So how do you, dissect that out of horror without literally erasing a lot of other great works that were inspired by? And I personally, as a person of color, I don't feel like that's necessary. I don't need you to apologize to me for what he said or did or thought.
100 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I enjoyed the movie with some friends and we had a great time laughing about it and everything. So Water under the bridge. I don't care. I can't speak for everyone, but just for me personally. So we're all on the same page.
If we go back through time and history and take all of the works of art and important pivotal moments of history, and then erase all the ones that were made possible by some person who was some kind of ist or some other form of piece of shit, then history would be pretty blank.
So we would have nothing. Yeah, you're right.
You have to kind of look at it from a holistic perspective of this is, you know, it even maybe informs their works even a little bit with that knowledge, right? Like,
oh yeah, I had a conversation kind of recently about the same kind of concept, and I was like, you know, the idea is that we're supposed to, art is supposed to, no matter what kind of art, it's supposed to inspire, hopefully educate, but also like, you know, inflame the spirit to a certain degree. And I feel like you can't do that unless some art is kind of incendiary. And I'm not saying that you should definitely go out and make the most horrible racist, you know, misogynist kind of whatever stuff. But I mean, some of that actually does inspire the narrative to push people forward and helps humanity evolve. So I'm cool with it, honestly.
So let's talk a little bit about the movie. This is, we were joking about it before we watched it, like this is probably one of the gorier, we haven't watched Glorious yet, and I'm sure Glorious is going to be fucking gory too.
But I don't one know. More. It's not going to be as practical as this, I believe. I mean, I'm assuming that, because this is the 80s. Like we were talking about, we were joking during there, like, what the fuck's a computer-generated graphic or something? You know, like, this is
the
all...
The goop was palpable.
Yeah,
but this is a gory, horny movie.
Yes, very good call. It's a gorny movie.
It's a gorny movie.
That just feels gross.
Because you can't call it hoary, so it's gorny.
Gorny movie.
There's a lot of nudity, and of both genders.
Yeah,
there's a lot of boobs.
There's a lot of dick.
A lot of dick. There's a lot of ass.
Yeah, as someone pointed out, I believe it was Kev, this is actually pretty progressive for the 80s.
Yeah. Just making sure that it was almost equal time for the amount of boobs on
DNA,
screen, for
the
amount
DNA.
Of dick on screen.
The dong to breast ratio was very, for once again, progressive for the 80s.
Fairly well balanced.
But there was some pretty horrific stuff, even within the nudity stuff, where you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's cringe.
I did see the very first person that we see reanimated, the big bulking guy at the very beginning. So I think someone made a joke about Arnold Schwarzenegger that was played, in fact, by Peter Kent, Arnold Schwarzenegger stunt double in 14.
Oh my God.
From Terminator.
I was totally joking.
Well,
I was
like
totally joking.
That's wild.
At one point, did you hear him like, like that? And he started joking about it.
Yeah, I think that's really what we started doing. Exactly.
He really did go.
Dude went full Arnold without even getting his permission.
That was in my notes, and when I made the comment, I was like, it sounds like he's a stunt double. That is so cool.
Yep. Another piece of trivia that I saw. So David Gale played the weird old doctor man with the weird telekinetic powers that were never super really explained. Apparently, after the movie, his wife divorced him.
Oh,
damn, that bad, huh?
And on the DVD audio commentary, the cast suspects the scene where his character, Dr. Hill, attempts to rape Megan was the cause of the divorce. And when David Gale's wife first saw the infamous, quote-unquote, giving head scene, she stormed out shouting, "David, how could you?" This has been confirmed by Stuart Gordon, who I believe is the director.
Jeez. Well, maybe the stage directions were not to lick her nipples. Maybe that was the source of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because I can kind of understand that. Like, maybe that don't lick the nips.
Also, interestingly, on the man, I'm just the. Sometimes the IMDb like trivia pages. Sometimes the most interesting stuff. An actual dead cat was used for the scene with Rufus in the fridge.
Oh, boo! What is this fucking human cannibal, or what was that, cannibal Holocaust?
That cannot be right. Oh my god.
Oh, I mean, it may be accurate, but it still ain't right.
Yeah.
Depends on how they got the cap.
That makes me sad. But no animals were harmed. They weren't harmed. I mean,
I don't think they went out and killed a cat. I'm sure they probably just went to like a vet and like, hey, do you have a black cat who died recently?
Oh my god.
Are you taking orders for dead animals?
Yeah.
Stuff it in this garbage bag.
Yeah, this one died of cat cancer or something, you know.
My tropical fish died from ick.
Oh my god.
All right, Donald. yeah. So I'm just reading through all the stuff. So the movie follows Herbert West, who is trying to reanimate dead tissue. We meet him and he's trying to reanimate the corpse of his former teacher, and I guess he gets arrested and kicked out of that school or whatever in Switzerland, I believe they said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then we meet him at Miskatonic University or whatever.
Well done.
And he, right off the bat, is someone that if I was ever in a class with, would punch in the face.
Yeah,
totally.
He's just such
pencil douche.
Yeah,
like he's worse than the person who has to constantly ask the teacher questions to try to like create a conversation so they could feel relevant. He's worse because he thinks he's better than the teacher, and he's just trying to like start an argument. Yeah. And just generally douchey behavior. Yeah.
One-upsmanship was like the thing that came to mind.
Really, somebody crazy. Please talk about the establishing dominance.
Oh god.
So he's snapping pencils, which we have established, and then he pulled just the biggest fuck you moment we've seen in history. And Kev noticed it. When he meets our main character, he literally walks by him, and you can hear him just go...
fucking crop dust his way out.
It's just
it's
while
so
making direct eye contact. Like, that's not a fucking move. I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a power move right there. You can't... Like, he got punked out, like, twice in this movie by people, man. Like, that was the first one. And then, like, I think the other, the evil doctor, the guy we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, Dr. Carl Hill
did something similar, too. He kind of put him in his place. It's like, man, he's going to be the sub of this movie.
It starts with snapping pencils. The next step is ripping farts. And the third step is killing their cat.
He's going to stick his bare ass on his pillow next time and give him pink eye.
Oh no. Oh, the other one is also showing up for an apartment viewing at like 11:30 at night.
I heard you were mid-coitus, so I waited until you were finished to knock on the door.
Yeah.
Smells fresh.
Yeah, they're the main character and his girl, we're fucking. And then like a cat gets thrown on them.
Twice.
Yeah, it happens the first time, and we like laughed about it. It was funny. And then like they continue having their conversation, and then they're about to start fucking again, and then the cat gets thrown at them again.
Yeah.
And then the door knocks, and Herbert.
Yeah, but that's a setup for later on when the chick's like, "Well, where's your cat? She should be all over us." Blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole impetus for why they go look for the cat, which haven't brought up yet.
Also, no, I did mention there was a dead cat. So we find out that the cat's dead, and he's like, "Oh, the cat died. I put it in the fridge. I found it this way, and I put it in the fridge." And then they like bring it back, and it's fucking gnarly.
Did y'all ever see something about Mary?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scene with Ben Stiller and the dog that latches onto him. Yeah. I always think of that when there's that. Like, we get to that scene with the cat on the guy's back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's such just
slapstick as fuck.
Slapstick, yeah. Let's see.
That's
my The Dr. Herbert West reanimates in the opening scene is named Hans Gruber.
I giggle at that.
Oh, yeah, not to be like, confused with Hans Gruber. Yeah, Dr. Hans Gruber.
Wasn't it like the, I think Die Hard, the original Die Hard, was this like 2 years later?
Yeah, Die Hard came out in 88. This came out in 85.
Oh, man, yeah, so they were ahead of shit.
Recycling German.
Who copied who, guys?
And you know
what? Is it part of the same universe? Is that Hans's like father, maybe?
Oh my god, he's a junior.
Oh my god.
Think about it this way too. At one point, Dan Kane at the end of the movie, when he's in the elevator, he's just wearing a tank top and blue jeans. Mm-hmm. Man. Oh. I'm telling you, Die Hard and Reanimator are closer than we think.
That's fair.
What?
You're right, yeah. He was rocking the action movie too. Chic.
They also had the friendly black cop / security guard.
See, there you go. Except what when in help of need, on. He ran the fuck off.
Oh, that's
John McTiernan was just ripping it off.
Yeah, so then... they reanimate the cat, and then the evil doctor guy, whatever his name is, not Herbert West, but the other guy, what was his name?
Carl Hill.
Halsey?
Dr. Halsey Carl was the doctor, the daddy.
Kirkland Brand, what was I say, John Kerry?
Yeah.
Yes. He, like, again, I mentioned it earlier, he could, like, I don't know, control people's minds, like hypnotize somehow. Them or something, like, and they never really explain it. And he turns the dean whose daughter the main character is fucking, and turns the dean against him, and like, oh man, it's this whole fucking thing, and people also die.
Yeah,
and people get brought back.
He turns my guy just blank on his name. West, he turns West a little bit.
Yeah, he gets like his notes, and then like if he kills them. Oh yeah, there's just a whole thing because they reanimate people, and then they get caught, and then they get in trouble, and then they get kicked out of the school. But then like that dude dies, so no one knows that they got kicked out of the school except for the shithead doctor who then wants his notes, and then is like trying to. It's a classic case of you have a student who's smarter than the instructor, but then you have the instructor who's more devious than the student, and he's trying to take his work and become famous and rich off of it, and like threatens to throw him in like a psych ward because he's, you know, oh, you're, everyone's gonna think you're crazy, but I'm gonna take your work because obviously you're smarter than me. Mm-hmm. And also I want to fuck the dean's daughter also, and
yeah.
I'm a gross old man. And yeah, it was, that's where the movie starts to get a little sketchy. Just this old creepy dude that wants to.
Yeah. At some point it's established that old creepy man has a file. He has a file in his file cabinet with newspaper clippings and pictures of this chick going back to when she was like a teenager and a lock of her fucking hair.
Ugh. Yeah.
And not like a tiny little like lock, like maybe like a little snippet, like maybe someone like, no, like a full on, like looks like good foot of hair.
Yeah,
like a like a full braid.
Pretty somehow. Fresh too. You know what I mean? Like it's still kind of like got some tensillary strength. Like he just cut that stuff off of her like last week.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and then it's just chaos after that. There's just a lot of oh man. He kills the Herbert West kills the creepy doctor
Carl
because
Hill.
Of him stealing, trying to steal his work and stuff, and then they reanimate him, but his head has been removed and his head can control his own body.
I had a weird little flashback of that because it kind of smacked of an old horror film called The Brain That Wouldn't Die. Mm-hmm. And there's a very similar kind of concept where, like, the body was kind of housed in, well, the body was gone, but, like, the brain is just put in the person's head is put in, like, a pan or whatever. It's kind of being fed by, like, fluids and blood and other kind of viscera, and it just still stays alive and can speak, even though it doesn't have any lungs to push air through the vocal cords.
Right.
it was really weird, but I was like, oh, that looks like the brain that wouldn't die. And I was like, interesting.
I did like that when he's talking, when that head is talking, that it's like super strained and like not,
yeah.
Like, there's a, yeah. You know, lungs.
Not a clear voice.
Mm-hmm. And it, yeah, it's the, it's part of what makes that movie kind of like, again, a classic in a way. It's just like the head in the pan and is one of the things I think about when I think about Reanimator.
Mm-hmm. And then,
because even yellow. Though it's like a cheesy effect of just having someone like put their head sticking out of like, you know, a cutout, it's just done very well. And it's really gross.
Yeah, everything is so gross in this movie. Literally every single scene. When the dean slash girl's dad gets crushed and his teeth get all fucked up. So for the rest of the movie, you see his fucked up teeth whenever he get a close up on his face. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that door crushing him, you hear it. It's the crunch underneath. And then it's before he's even dead. He's not even dead yet. And they pull the door off and he's just like.
Yeah, that's kind of horrifying.
So we watched the extended version of this, which we feel like we should mention just because there's a little more to it than, I guess, just the regular version. They answer some questions, but they don't answer all of them. Apparently, the first cut of this movie was 2.5 hours long.
Wow.
Get the out. No.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe they explain why that dude could, like, manipulate people's brains.
Yeah, the hypnosis he was kind of going through.
They explore the fact that What's-His-Nuts shoots up his own stuff. Maybe they go into that a little bit.
Yeah. There's a couple little interesting parts that, like, got more. I mean, they didn't really explain the Dr. Hill's psychopathic or like tell you know, whatever his like mind manipulation powers, but they kind of embellished on him a little bit more in the extended version, so it made more sense.
Yeah, this showed more of it, so you're kind of like, okay, this is a thing he can do.
Yeah,
yeah, and yeah, like Daniel was saying, they mention there's a conversation between the girlfriend and was it Dean Cain or not Dean Cain? Cain David
Dan Cain
Dan Cain
Dean Cain.
Well, Dean Halsey Dean is the
Howard Cain. Name.
There it is. Yeah.
So between Megan Halsey and Dan Cain, the girlfriend, and then like again, kind of the main character, where she's like, "Do you ever see him sleep? Do you ever see him eat?" And he's like, "No, but you know, he's busy. He's got a lot. You know, he.
Yeah.
I don't even get to do a lot of that stuff. You know, we're so busy as medical students. Blah blah blah. And then later, yeah, we see that Herbert West is like shooting himself up with his concoction or whatever to reanimate stuff. So it's like, he's not dead yet. So it's just, it's helping him to not have to waste time doing those things.
Right.
It's just, like a,
he can just energy let his system deteriorate and just keep going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy to see that part. That explains a little bit more too.
Yeah. That isn't really, I guess in the original version, maybe that was like cut out. So it's like they had that conversation, but like there was no follow through. So that was interesting just to see like this dude's so not far gone, but like so invested in his work and believes in it, you know, that he's even just, fuck, I'm gonna shoot it up on myself. I'm not.
Well, if he's not slept in 2 or 3 years, then his brain can only focus on one thing at a time. That's whatever his research is.
Yeah.
He's so fucking scattered.
Yeah. So, besides that, you know, it's a gory, goopy, horny movie. I mean, I think we've kind of gone over all of that.
Yeah, there's not really much to talk about in it because it's like, I mean, there's so much weird gore that happens. I mean, it just kind of blends together throughout this, you know.
Yeah,
there is one scene that I want to ask about when Herbert West gets the giant intestine tongue wrapped around him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, what God. The heck?
Yeah, that what was the horrifying.
Heck? Yeah, that was
like he makes his body overdose, and then it grows an intestine tongue and it's open. And does it eat him? Presumably, is that what the implication is? Because like there's sequels, right?
There are
sequels.
Yeah, I don't think it ever really explains what happened to him. I think he just kind of gets dragged off into the smoke.
Or he just kind of sat there. It seemed as the smoke covered him, which is hilarious because it was like one little vial of something broke, and all of a sudden it was just, it turned into a rave where it was just like a smokehouse. Like it was, it made no sense, but then that's, I guess, how you have a climax, you know, a climax to a movie.
Yeah, and at the time they probably didn't know they were going to make more, so they didn't have to necessarily answer. You're just like, oh, well, that's what happened to him. See, that's why you don't fuck around with this stuff.
Don't fuck around. You won't have to find out.
And then I guess it did well enough that they went, hey, that's fun. Let's make another one.
They actually, I read one of the production notes in here, and for the campy acting and whatnot, I had this thought when I was putting my notes down for this, and one of the things I thought was, like, it's very stage driven. Like, I went to, you know, when I was in college, I studied theater as a major, because it was so useful. And then I was noticing some of the way that they also shot the movie felt very stage play. And it turns out that it was actually going to be initially adapted for the stage.
Interesting.
Stuart Gordon, who I think he's the director. I think he was initially going to adapt this for the stage, but then decided to make it as a television pilot. And so I think they never really kind of steered away from that direction, which was kind of interesting. You watch some of the choices that are made and some of the acting that goes on. It's like, oh, it is kind of played up, isn't it?
Interesting. Especially if they would have made it a TV show. How would they have, it would have been like a wacky TV show, like, oh, my roommates, you know, just reanimating my cat. The canned audience laugh.
And it kind of explains some of the things that you guys were hitting upon, where it's like some of this story just seemed kind of like out of left field and like unexplained, or like maybe this would have been better if they had like a little bit more time. When we said the longer version of the film, that might have been part of it. It's like you could probably deal with this as like a 2.5 hour play with like a intermission break. But to sit through this in the film, fair. In the theaters back in like 1985, there's no way. People would have walked out in like hour one. I'm like, all right, that's enough.
I will be getting my money back, please.
Too much gore.
This is interesting. So Stuart Gordon, obviously did Reanimator based on Lovecraft. And then he did immediately, like the next year, another movie called From Beyond, which is another H.P. Lovecraft movie starring Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton.
Sounds like we need to be adding that to the list.
We're running out of, we've already got other stuff lined up. Now we can watch this as just a group for fun.
I just want to watch it. Yeah. Because Jeffrey Combs is a treasure.
Oh God. I volunteer
a tribute for that. Just for the giggles.
Wow. He also did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
well, the TV show.
Oh,
one episode. He was a writer on it for. Now I don't know if you guys have ever seen like shows like Fear Itself and Masters of Horror.
I saw Masters of Horror.
He did two episodes of that.
That was a horny show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fear Itself was pretty good too. That one was a lot of fun. That was like every week a new episode was directed by like a horror director, and a lot of great cast in there as well.
Oh, cool.
I do recommend that one. It was on Showtime. Forget who made that.
It sounds familiar. I'm learning so much. I'm gonna have to put some of the stuff on my watch list now.
Yeah. Oh man.
I think you guys are making a convert.
Interesting. Still a link, I guess, for any Chicago folk listening to this. He was Stuart Gordon was born and raised in Chicago, and he actually graduated from Lane Tech High School. Wow.
Oh.
That blows me up. I tried to get into that high school and I was not smart enough. But I went into the place that was like a couple blocks down. They got made fun of for it. You know, like our rival school, yep. Lakeview.
Yep.
That's wild.
My mom, my brother, my sister graduated from Lane Tech.
Well, there you go. They might have went with fucking Stuart Gordon.
Oh, he passed away 2 years ago.
Yeah, 72.
My mom might have gone to school with him.
He was, let's see. He was born in 1947, so he might be, like, I would assume he graduated in, like, the early 60s. Or mid-60s.
He's older than my mom.
That's cool, though. I didn't know that.
Pretty cool. Pretty good.
So we can probably wrap this up, I mean, think we've kind of talked. Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about or mention from the movie? I mean, it's, I feel like, again, if you like the campy, over the top, gory, horny horror films of like the 80s, 70s, and 80s, this will probably be right up your fucking path.
Yep.
If you're, I don't know, man, not into that, if you like the more cerebral stuff, this is not going to be for you.
Yeah, this is very much shock value. And oh, wouldn't, like, every scene is clearly like this guy was in this, was in a room similar to this at some point and went, what would happen if this happened? Like, mm-hmm. What would happen if this cadaver came to life and I had to kill it with a bone saw?
Yeah.
Or
I find it very scary, which was kind of interesting to me. I've done one of, I've actually done a couple of these with you guys over the years, and this was one that I knew wasn't going to be very scary. It was just really, what is it that you said? Not Caleb.
Goofy.
It was, like goofy ass horror movie was how it was phrased.
Yeah, goofy ass, man. It's just goopy. Yeah.
Very pulpy and in both definitions of that term.
It
pointed out like how crappy men are. There's a lot of really just men are disgusting evil people, pigs kind of. I was like,
yeah.
There was no really redeeming qualities about most of the male characters here except for the people who died. Like, all the men who died were the good ones, and everybody who
survived. I don't know, I kind of like the security guard.
He was cool.
Yeah, he was cool. But he was still, like, just sitting there reading smut mags right outside of the do not F the zombie, do not F the corpses room.
Yeah. That was his only job, was to make sure that people don't fuck the corpses.
Yeah, and he did it well. He took it serious. He even had
nobody fucked. Listen, as far as we know, nobody fucked any of the corpses in that movie.
That but
one of the corpses did try to fuck.
It tried, but it did not.
That was above his pay grade.
Yeah, at one point the dad got pulled off into like a gangbang or something like that? Like, all you see is like five different bodies just go off into like the shadows with like one woman zombie.
He did get pulled off by multiple people, but he got pulled off into multiple pieces. So
he pulled off shreds, man.
Right, yeah. But the creepy part was like the dad actually did the stripping of the daughter. Didn't do anything else. That was a lot.
And chained her up. Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
Being controlled by the dude with the mind control.
Yeah, but you know the dude for the mind control was getting off on it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, some of these scenes are a lot to watch, not because of the gore or anything like that. Yeah. I think it was just like
cringe. It's definitely not a movie you want to, like, if you want to bring over a partner to watch a scary movie with and put something on and get a little touchy feel, time. Not this movie.
Nope.
No, definitely not.
Not even if you're a freak. There is no level of freak that's acceptable to go to Pound Town with this movie on in the background.
Unless you're insert name of celebrity here. But no, I think the one thing that did get me was the bodies coming to life at the end.
Yeah.
Nothing else really scared me. And I'm a very big coward when it comes to horror films. And I think it's kind of part of you guys' pleasure to have me watch this stuff when I get to come in with you. And I love it. But this one didn't really do the jump scare thing. But the end, when the bodies all kind of like sit up at once, I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Because they all had really dope prosthetics. Like, they all had really awesome practical effects. And you could tell like how every one of them died was based on how fucked up their body was.
Yeah.
Like the dude who had the the gunshot wound in the brain, or like the guy who was like half burnt, or the guy who would like had all the like IVs Tubings. Hanging off of him.
Yeah.
For its time, like the practical effects, like you said, they were really, really well done, obviously. I think they probably could stand up if it's got like a remaster, you know.
If you watch that movie, you have to ask yourself, like, what would computers have made better? And that would have been like maybe some of the body and gore effects, maybe.
Yeah,
like the cat would be like the only scene that I think would be radically improved by having better graphics.
the cat on the back.
Yeah, even then though, I liked it. It was a real like Ash Williams, like Evil Dead, like kind of physical comedy. Like the movie needs levity, you know. even if it is objectively horrifying.
I think somebody once mentioned that horror technically usually falls into the category of comedy under the Greek definition of theater, because at the end, good triumphs over evil, which is kind of like the base core definition of theater-driven comedy, which, like I said, this was kind of predicated on being initially a theater play. So to me, when I watch horror movies, I try to find, like, where's the funny and where's the fun? And you guys are right. Like, this is, like, definitely not something you're going to be scared of, but you're going to be like, oh, my God, what are they doing here? And I got that a lot. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Well, let's go around and give our final thoughts and ratings of, kind of, you know, would you recommend this to a friend? You know, mm-hmm. Link, since you are our guest this week, You get to go first, bud.
Well, thanks.
You know how we do. You listen to the reviews. You know how we do this.
For sure. I'm glad I'm not being put on the spot. I actually really enjoyed the film, honestly. I took it for what it was. It was going to be campy, kind of schlocky kind of stuff. And it is a little goopy, it is a little cringe. Would I recommend this to someone? Not unless, as Doug and the rest of the crew here, like Kevin Gang, point out, if you're not really a fan of like goofy, campy, weird horror, this is probably not for you. But if you're someone like myself, who's kind of like a scaredy cat when it comes to horror, this could be a fun little introduction to it. Maybe kind of warm you up and kind of, you know, waken the palate a little bit, so to speak.
You start here and then you go immediately to Hereditary.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
fucking jump right into the deep end.
Thanks. Yep. I'm going to sit awake and cry tonight.
don't do that.
No, but I've watched a couple of other films with you guys as a crew, and I've loved every experience, and it's been great. So, like, this was actually a really fun recommendation that you guys threw my way and allowed me to be part of. So I would say, overall, just really average soundtrack. You pull clips off the internet and just make yourself a soundtrack kind of stuff.
Yeah, wasn't there like a bootleg version of the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, there's that. It's just like it's a weak story. I think it's because of the way it was adapted, and then also very campy acting. But it's a fun concept. I think that if they kind of updated it, it could be great. I give it a. Listen, you guys are still sticking with the five, the X out of five kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this one, I initially gave it a 2.5, but I think I'm going to give this actually a 3 out of 5 unnecessarily nude people.
Fair.
That's pretty good.
I like it. There's a lot of weenus, a lot of male butt, but there was also some pretty fine little... breasticles that were popping around there. That was kind of alleviating.
There were also some not so fine breasticles.
Yes, that is true.
But still, also good. Barbara Crampton, loved it. But yeah, it was 3. I give it a 3 unnecessarily new people out of 5.
Excellent.
Kev.
I like this movie. I remember watching it a bunch as a kid. I used to rent the fucking Blockbuster horror section out because I was lonely and bored. So this was a movie I've collected over the years. I remember buying it on DVD, and I think I got like one of the extended editions back then too. It came in a yellow case. It was pretty cool. Yeah, I liked the movie back then. I aged like milk. I mean, you think about it, especially by today's like, you know, the world we're living in today, obviously, if you show someone this today who's not familiar with this type of horror, it's probably going to offend them. I mean, it's really, it's not politically correct. It came at a time when, once again, tits and ass sold. I mean, tits and ass still do sell. I mean, look at Game of Thrones, I guess. But that just came at a time when this stuff was like, you had to have this in your movie. It was kind of a non-negotiation if you wanted to get stuff like shown and get famous. I like the practical. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that definitely a huge part of like 80s horror too. Yeah. Was how much nudity can we cram in here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you had a ratio you had to meet. So, mm-hmm. It's the practical effects were great for what it was worth. The cat was still, man, that was gross. It's, you know, it's not up to the snuff of like, you know, saying, The Thing, but it is still really good practical effects. A lot of buckets of blood. The creativeness of them kind of like hauling around a head was pretty interesting, especially when they were doing the scenes of like him going over the girlfriend's body when he's going over. It's just like how it's going over. It's just pretty like the way they kind of set that up. It was
clever masking.
Yeah, there was some good masking in that. It was a pretty good movie overall. I enjoyed it. I don't think I've ever seen any of the other sequels, though. I don't think I've ever been that into it to want to. But I got to give this movie three dominating crop dustings out of five.
Daniel?
Man, I enjoy this movie, but I want to say, like, I enjoy bad schlocky genre films, and this is absolutely that. Like, yes. This movie is not pretending to be anything other than what it is, and I love that. Now, if your movies have to be good, you're not going to enjoy this. But if you want to watch a movie and laugh and just kind of goof about, then you're going to enjoy this one. I'll give it a 3 glow sticks with needles out of 5. No, you know what? I'm going to say 4 because we also have to remember that it's based off of a story that, well, is a direct parody of Frankenstein. It's still like kind of ahead of the whole zombie genre that dominated Hollywood for, you know, 40 years. Like it's a different fresh take on it.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I personally like it, but it's also not a movie that I would voluntarily watch without a bottle of booze and people to suffer it with me.
I think Return of the Living Dead came out that year too, actually.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. 1985. So yeah, that's good timing too. Cause those were they kind of went neck and neck, especially with like the use of the reanimated, the way they acted, not like regular zombies. Like these were like full speed, I guess at that time.
Yeah.
So that's something we're thinking about. Yeah. That's both the same year.
Yeah. Let's see. My turn.
Yeah, Doug, what you got?
I like I've said, I've seen this movie so many times, and it is one that like I enjoy because of the campy, goopy silliness of it. It's if I was to like people are like, hey, what's some of your favorite zombie movies? This would not be on the list. Because it's like, I mean, it's got zombies, but I don't, you know, it's not what I would consider like, you know, I don't know, a zombie movie. But yeah, it's cheesy and stupid and fun and yeah, super cringe. God, and even like it just gets cringier every year. Mm-hmm. As we kind of distance ourselves away from like some of the stuff being okay and what we're okay with as like a society. You know, I know in like 10 years or less, like people will just crucify this movie for some of the stuff that's portrayed in it. And rightfully so in some regards, you know, it's just, but you know, you can also, it's a different time, you know, I mean, I don't know. Again, like we're saying, like sex sells or sex definitely sold in the 80s.
Well, you also have to ask, like, I have to ask at least, is like, is that part of the horror? Is the sexuality part of the horror? Because like, you can look at artists like Geiger and like how Aliens flips the sexuality horror on its head by having it, you know, throat fucking the men and inseminating them with little alien babies. Like, it's still objectively terrifying, especially when you break it down to like being nude, tied up, and helpless. Like, that's objectively fucking terrifying.
That's true. Yeah, the kind of rapiness of it. I mean, like,
yeah, that is, and like the fact that guy was in a position of power and had known this person their whole life, violating several taboos. But like, I mean, I kind of get it, but you're right. Like, it wasn't as bad as some other horror movies. Like, if you look at the slashers from the other slashers from that came out in the 80s, where there was like super gratuitous sex scenes pretty much constantly, like, this was really, there's only like one sex scene, and it's with the single couple, right? Like, it's not like,
right,
true. That's
there's
true.
A group of horny teenagers, and they're all coupling off and fucking in the woods so Jason can kill them.
In a weird way, you could almost say this movie, I'm not going to say this is exactly it, but in a weird, off-turned kind of way, you could almost say this is almost kind of like a listen to women kind of thing, because...
Yeah, she's constantly like, hey, stop fucking around with this.
Been like,
yeah, this guy's creepy, exactly. Stop it.
Stop, and then none of the men listen to her. They were like, we're all doctors, we're all educated, and blah, 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 and they didn't listen to the woman. And then they all fucking paid the price. And ultimately, unfortunately, the woman paid the price. So, not to get political, but anyway, sorry, Doug, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just...
No, that's a good point, though. Daniel's got a good point, too, is that, like, I would say that there is some, like, unnecessary, like, nudity. Like, the fact that for the first time we meet Dan Kane, you know, he's giving CPR, like, chest compressions to a woman with giant boobs. And they're out, you know.
To be fair, they're not giant boobs that anybody wants to see.
Yeah, and apparently, like, that scene was originally longer.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was one of the scenes that got cut down. But apparently, it was longer. I was reading the trivia that actor was in an interview said that, like, he did not have fun like filming that, and that, like, he was like, I ended up like hurting her. Doing those chest compressions, because what happens when you do chest compressions?
Yeah, you can break ribs.
You break ribs.
Yeah.
Apparently, he broke like 3 of her ribs.
Oh wow!
Crap, really?
Does he not know how to fake doing that? Like, come on, man. That's bad acting.
They probably one of those. Well, or that's just acting, and then he doesn't know how to do it, and he was pretending to do it. And now, did he actually, or is he just, you know, embellishing in the story a little bit? Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to ask that actress whether or not she actually had her ribs broken. But
if that's the case, good on her for not fucking screaming out in pain, because that should look like it hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call that nudity. Like, in that sense, like, if she was in a hospital, her hooters would be because the gown was pulled down. It wasn't like there was close-ups and like slow jazz playing while he was doing it.
It wasn't slow-mo.
Oh, I guess there was a slow-mo.
It wasn't slow-mo.
But like those aren't the kind of boobs that fill seats. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. One thing I thought was kind of
If it was like Pamela Anderson having, you know, chest impressions, that would be like, I don't know. I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just trying to figure out where the line is in your head.
I also think it was kind of
everybody's line is different.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was saying the other thing I think was kind of interesting was that in the midst of that, it almost kind of seemed like a stab at the patriarchy at this early, you know, in the 80s, not really the most enlightened time, but like even the female doctor who was overseeing that resuscitation was kind of like, yeah, she's done. And like, they probably were like very clinical, very like male driven, you know, like the medical field is very male driven. She's like, just gotta learn when to give it up.
Well, I mean, it's also a teaching hospital.
Programmed into her. Yes, probably something that was programmed into her. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some of the things were real creepy and unusual.
Yeah. I mean, so a lot of the nudity I would say in this movie, like, could make sense because, again, they're in a morgue for most of it. So a lot of those people would be nude as they are having like their, you know, almost said dissections. Oh my god, their autopsies done and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So like it makes sense, but there, you know, there's. I think we also see a lot of movies nowadays where they could still do those things without being like, and check out this dick for 5 minutes, and it'd be a lot of butts and there'd be things blocking things, so you wouldn't have to see the Merkins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. They'd be able to block shots a lot. The modern technology allows them a lot of things, including the ability to block shots and go in and CG shadows over things if you don't necessarily want to see a big weird dick in the background. Like,
exactly. Yeah. And there's also, because you can flip that on its head, and you have like the movies like The Norseman and stuff where like they did that last fight and they were not actually naked, and then they CG'd in some dicks, but then they also CG'd in shadows to cover the dicks for most of the fight. Because they were like, we can't have two dudes' wangs flopping around in the audience's face for 10 minutes.
Oh, why not?
I mean, we joked the other day about Eastern Promises, like,
yeah, exactly, the bathhouse brawl.
But and like, but that's the thing, right? Like, that's what people remember.
Return of the King, indeed.
So, anyway, as I was saying,
sorry.
Yeah, it's interesting, just like kind of like dissecting the film, because like again, there's the cringy parts, but like, I mean, maybe the movie won't be crucified in 5 years, because yeah, it depends on how you look at it. Because if you're looking at it as just a like, it's just all for shock value, it's all just, you know, I don't know, goopy horror, like there's no need for it, but you could argue the need or maybe the need for it, you know, like why this movie may necessitate some of those choices that were made at the time. And we're just writing it off, some of it off as just being like, you know, because that's what you had to do in the 80s to sell movie tickets, especially to horror films. People mm-hmm. want to see horror films for, yeah, the campy jokes, the cool kills and practical effects, and boobs. I mean, that's kind of what sold them. I still enjoy the movie. Not enough. Again, I've apparently watched it 3 times in the last 6 months, so I don't fucking know. One was with you guys, like, so it was just on, and I think I played video games or something, like probably Power Washed or something while it was on. And then I had it on in the background at work on Chiller, or not Chiller, what's it called? Shudder TV. So I didn't like choose it and put it on, stream it by choice. It was just what was on their Chiller TV, where they just stream movies all day.
Right.
But still, yeah. I've watched it more than I should have in the last, I've probably watched it more in the last 6 months than I've watched in the last 6 years. Would I recommend it to somebody? Again, it all depends. Depends on who it is. Caleb probably wouldn't care for it. I know he likes these sort of movies, but he also prefers the more cerebral, like, scary stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Jer would like it. I think this is a movie that Jer would have loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he would have been laughing his ass off and thoroughly enjoying all the shtick of it, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
If you liked this, hold on. Was Jer with us when we watched Dead Alive?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I'm pretty sure he has seen Dead Alive.
I have to ask him.
Yeah. So I give this movie my final rating. Three real dead cats. Out of 5.
Oh,
like,
God.
Like dead or like re-dead?
Oh
no, for like the dead one, the real dead cat that was in the freezer. So three real dead cats.
Oh no. Oh Doug. Nobody like that.
Oh no. Oh no.
So yeah, that was our review of Reanimator. We've got what, 2 weeks left? We got Glorious and In the Mouth of Madness are our two remaining movies for this. Mm-hmm. So make sure you watch those before our next episodes. Don't know what's next. I think Glorious is next.
Yeah, I think we're closing out with In the Mouth of Madness. So Glorious would be the next one.
Wow. So
that is available on Shudder or wherever you get your movies. If you don't, go.
You could probably get it on Amazon Prime, maybe. Like, you could probably rent it or buy it there, too.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other places to watch it. I know it's available on Shudder, so
Spotify.
Yeah, it's on
Spotify.
Sure. So you can listen to the movie.
Listen to the soundtrack of the movie. It's a narration of the movie while you watch it.
Dude, it looks like oosh.
Well, all right. Yeah, I think that's it. I think we're done.
Yeah.
I think we can call it now.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Link. Thanks, Daniel, for hanging out with us.
Excuse me, you got my name wrong.
Caleb.
Oh, sorry, Caleb.
Also, right. Link, where can we find you? Please give us all of your popular information, you Twitch god, you. Let's fucking promote something.
Are we really doing this right now?
Yeah, promote your shit.
I guess. I'm Link Flores, a.k.a. Link IB, and you can find me pretty much anywhere you look for Link IB, there I be. I'm usually on Twitch, Instagram, and TikTok. and other stuff.
Pornhub.
On Twitch, you can find me. Oh, not yet, but
Not
we're working
yet.
on it.
Oh, yeah. We'll see how the OnlyFans pans out. Then
yeah,
it'll go to Pornhub. That's usually the progression.
You can find me at twitch.tv/linkib. That's LINKIBE. You can also hear a little bit of me, even though it's not actually me, right here with the homies at the 8-Bit Saga podcast, because they were gracious enough to put me in as a NPC called Linkby. And
Our
I'm
assassination droid.
yeah. And I'd be killing it when I get to do 8-Bit Horror Fest stuff with the guys. I love you guys, and thank you for inviting me to be a part of this again. I've actually really loved this. I would love to do more, and if they're ever willing and able, I'll come back. I'll put myself through the paces. I love you guys.
Hell yeah. Love you too, man.
Yeah, it's
all
fun having
right. Kev, you want to close this out? You want to steal Jer's line?
No, I don't want to steal Jer's line because I got shit for it last time.
Okay,
I will.
Fuck Jer.
No,
He didn't show up, so.
do it. Do it. Let me do it. So, like, if he gets mad about it, then we can talk about, like, oh, is it a racist thing? Is it H.P.
Is it a
Lovecraft racist
racist thing?
Is it a racist thing? Yeah, do it. Okay, all right, Link, it's on you.
Thanks for coming around, meatbags. Bunch of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.